Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week, I am reviewing a Swedish IPA beer, and I am setting it up against a Belgian ale. They are both ales with a decent high ABV level. But I'd first like to say that doing reviews in real time is much more difficult than doing reviews in the traditional way. There is much less contemplating time to my disposal. Consequently, there is always a bigger risk that you will screw up. This week's first contestant is the Indian Pale Ale beer assortment, Rådanäs IPA. And the second contestant is the Belgian ale, Augustine Blonde.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first contestant this week is thus the IPA beer assortment, Rådanäs IPA. The ingredients in the Rådanäs IPA beer assortment are water, barley malt, wheat malt, hops, and yeast. The malts are of the sorts pale ale, Münchener, and caramel malt. The hops are, according to the brewery, of the sorts Chinook, Centennial, and Rakow and Cascade. But according to Systembolaget, the hops are of the sorts Chinook, Centennial, and Summer and Galaxy. The beer is said by the brewery to be unpasteurized, unfiltered, and also gluten-free. The expiration date on this particular beer is the end of March 2024. I purchased this beer in late May 2023. It has been standing in my cooler since. Today it is early July 2023. The Rådanäs IPA beer assortment comes in a size 33 centiliters, i.e. about an 11 liquid ounces bottle. The one folded bottle label is mostly pinkish in color. There is a picture of a strongman from the end of the 19th century or something on the label. The Rådanäs IPA costs 30 kronor at Systembolaget. That is about $2.70. That is 98 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. The preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is, according to Systembolaget, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. The Rådanäs IPA has got a 6.6% ABV level. 6.6%. How about the experience then? Got a strong IPA beer aroma. It's got an about 3 fingers tall head, a little bit more. and it's yellowish in color. It's yellow in color, and kind of cloudy. It's cloudy, of course. First impression. It's a typical, or at least it's not very characteristic. It's an IPA beer, a good IPA beer. But not very, it doesn't stick out in any way. It's a good beer. I wouldn't drink it every day, but that's not because it's not good. It's because it's expensive, pretty expensive. 30 kroner for a beer, 33 centiliters. But it's a bit boring, it is. But it's still rich. Fairly rich anyway, and almost bread-like, yeah. And yeasty and hoppy. Fairly bitter and hoppy. It's very hoppy on my palate, taste on my palate. So is it sweet or dry? Of course it's dry. And as I said, bitter, fairly bitter and very hoppy. It's not candy-like. Excuse me. It's not very, I wouldn't say that it's fruity, no, I wouldn't. But the maltiness in it, if there is, I don't sense the wheat malt in it. It cannot be much, but it's there, it should be there. They state that it's there. So I'd say that, mostly barley malt taste, not so much wheat malt, but a little bit. Spices, let's see. Perhaps. The undertone is not so distinct. It's a typical IPA beer undertone. Everything with this beer is typical IPA beer. This, I mean, like a, if there ever was a standard IPA beer, this one categorizes as that. Carbonation level, let's see. Well, I don't know yet, but it's not creamy. It's not acidic, and there are no aberrations, but there's nothing exciting with it either. And it's, of course, unfiltered. Let's see here. Maybe there's nothing exciting with it, but it's a good beer. You can't take that away from them, from the brewery. But boring. It's not. No, it's not. It's not, as I said, as I just said, it's not very fruity. I don't think it's fruity at all. And it's got a light bread taste. White bread taste. Let's see. There's actually not anything more to say about this beer. So, what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? Okay. It's well brewed, so in that regard, it will get an 8. But it's boring, so in that regard, it will get a 7. I don't want to grade this beer anything but a 7. Because character is an important thing in beers. At least according to me, right now, at this period of my life, where my podcasting about beers. I need to level it a 7. That's what it gets from me. Okay, let's move on to our next beer. Our second contestant for this week is the Augustine Blonde from the Belgian brewery Van Steenbergen Brewery. On the brewery's website, it says, quote, "The Augustinian monks have been brewing Augustine since 1295 at their monastery in Ghent," end quote. That is a long time. That should be long enough to perfect any beer assortment. Except on their actual brewery's facade, it says Brewery Van Steenbergen, anno 1784. And to top it off, the brewery states, quote, "When the Augustinians started looking for a new brewing partner in 1978, Joseph Van Steenbergen had already been experimenting a lot with top fermenting beers. Joseph won the competition organized by the Augustinians. This meant that the brewery gained access to the recipe of this historic monastery beer." Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. The beer assortment Augustine Blonde is brewed with water, barley malt, sugar, rice, hops, and yeast. They have used 3 different yeast strains when brewing this beer, and the beer is fermented a second time in the bottle. The expiration date on this particular beer bottle is mid-March 2025. I purchased this beer in early June 2023. It has been standing in my cooler since. At present date, it is early July 2023. The chubby Michelin Guy look-alike bottle contains 33 centiliters, i.e. about 11 liquid ounces. The bottle label is two-folded and mostly dark blue in color, with a red main text saying Augustine on the front label. And the front label is also portraying a monk in front of a church window. albeit this is not a Trappist beer. The Augustine Blonde beer assortment cost me 30 Swedish kronor, i.e. about $2.70. That is 98 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. The preferred serving temperature for the Augustine Blonde beer assortment is, according to Systembolaget, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, excuse me, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures, but it is pretty standard. The Augustine Blonde Ale assortment has got a 7% ABV. 7%. How about the experience then? A sweet aroma. It's got a very large head. I mean, very large. 6 or 7 fingers tall. Very large. Or tall head. And it's light yellowish in color. And it looks clear in color. I can see my fingers perfectly through the glass. But it shouldn't be. May change later on when I pour in the rest of the beer. Pour up the rest of the beer. Okay. So the color is check, and the aroma check, and the foam check. We see about the cloudiness. My first impression is well, I've tried better Belgian beers, but we'll see. But it's rich. Let's see if it's cloudy. I'll pour up some more. It's not much cloudier. Is it bread-like? No, not really. It's yeasty. It is very yeasty. Very yeasty. And malty, rice malty, perhaps more than barley malty. Let's see here. Water, barley malt, sugar, rice, hops, and yeast. So I'd say that it's about equal between rice and barley malt. It may not be equal volumes of barley malt and rice, but in the taste, it is. And sugary. Okay. The taste on my palate is very sweet, sugary, syrupy, but not really syrup, but sugar. So it's sweet. It's not very bitter at all. Not very hoppy either. It's... almost candy-like. but not really that caramel taste. But it's so sweet, so it almost tastes like candy. But without the actual taste of candy, except from the sugar. It's not fruity. No, I don't think so. Maybe a little bit vanilla taste. But I'm not sure they have vanilla in it. I don't sense much spices in it. I pour in the rest here. Pour up the rest. So, now it's a bit cloudier. Anyway, the undertone is sugary all the way through this beer. It's too sugary. The carbonation level, I don't know, but I don't think it's high. It's low. You don't sense it on your palate, on my palate. I don't sense it on my palate. It's not creamy. It's not acidic, but there are some aberration. It's the sugar who makes it a little bit off. It's not dark roasted. It's unfiltered. Almost banana taste. Yeah, I'd say banana taste. But not much more. And vanilla, perhaps, as I said. Banana taste and vanilla in the flavor. Yeah. What about grading then? How many devils do I grade this Belgian beer? I don't like the sweetness of it. I grade it 6 devils out of 10 possible. I think that's as high as I can go. But perhaps some German would like it, some German people. They like their candy and their everything they eat is sweet like hell. And it doesn't taste good. So they might like this beer. But I don't like it very much. Actually, I would grade it personally from my own taste 5 devils out of 10 possible, perhaps even less. Even though I don't think it's a badly brewed beer, it's not the brewing that's wrong, it's the sugary taste of it I don't like. And that's a choice they made when brewing this beer, probably because they wanted to jack up the alcohol level, the ABV in this beer. And I don't like it one bit. So 5 or 6 devils out of 10 possible. Okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. This week's lesson is all about gossip. I imagine that before we start expressing our disapproval, or maybe approval, of gossip as an antisocial or social phenomenon, we define what gossip can conceivably consist of. Does it count as gossip if someone expresses their disapproval publicly of what a certain person say or do? Note that I don't mean said or have done, but I mean say or do. But singling out a certain person and accusing him publicly is inevitable in such cases. Of course, the accuser can count on the person becoming confronted, either because he is in the room when you accuse him, or because he finds out about it through detours. Finding out through detours can the accused do anyway. Therefore, as an accuser, you have to be able to stand up to the accused person almost physically. But the accused can find out through detours, even if it is covert gossip in the traditional sense. But the question for me was whether gossip has a social purpose, or whether it counteracts social networking in general. Those who gossip in groups definitely do so for a social purpose. Maybe gossip is about who can become king of the hill, win the moral high ground. In that case, gossip has nothing to do with morality. States are also trying to gain the moral high ground, as it is called in English, through gossip. They then secretly try to manipulate the public in their own and other countries with the aim of destabilizing the designated country and making this country appear as an anomaly compared to other selected countries. A bit like the US and Russia are trying to do to Sweden. They are trying, for example, simultaneously as these great powers are putting pressure on our country in, among other things, the NATO process, to make Sweden appear to be overrun by Muslim countries, being submissive, cowardly, lacking charisma, and or doomed to genetic annihilation due to the infidelity of Swedish women. Talk about throwing stones in a glass house. This is because they want to make Sweden end up in a one-sided economic downward spiral, like the one Sweden had in the 1990s, with the aim of sucking us out financially and then throwing away the used condom. That lot fell on self-proclaimed multi-billionaire George Soros in the 1990s. In Russia's case, it is more a question of how they will gain supremacy over us and perhaps break into parts of Sweden with military force. So, of course, gossip has a purpose, and that is rarely a good purpose. But do we want to live in a world without gossip? It depends a little on whether we are gossiping or being gossiped about, I imagine. Biden's seventh grandchild. Is that gossip? Or is it genetically proven by court order? If not, it should be. A bigger asshole than Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden is hard to find. For Biden, it is all about appearance. But behind that shining surface lies a ton of dark secrets, probably. And some of them are sexual. He isn't a good man. He just wants you to believe that he is. Even Donald Trump is more easily forgiven by God. I think of that poor seventh little granddaughter of Biden. She is one of those people living in the shadow of the US mighty image. Well, the image is cracking down, and it is all coming up to the surface. It's plastic fantastic. Family isn't so important if you manage to impregnate a Hunter Biden quote, hardly the dating type woman. But I guess it was the cocaine talking. But Biden is right, actually. Any father is much better than Hunter Biden. A father isn't an impregnating man. A father is the person taking care of his offspring. So by Joe Biden's definition, Hunter Biden isn't a father. At least not to that offspring. Heavens no. So long, B-Day. My name is Roger Klein. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile.